Good morning, church. Welcome to the Tenasket Free Methodist Church. Who would have thought this? But we are now one church in two different locations. We are online this morning as you're watching this 10:30, but we are also gathering in person at the Tenasket Free Methodist Church 10:30. And so I'm just so thankful again for you joining us this morning and worshiping God in this way. And we want you to know you're welcome to gather in person with us if you feel comfortable doing that. All of our details for our in-person gatherings are online at tenasketfmc.org, so you can feel free to visit that website and find out about all the details about how to join us in person on Sunday mornings again at 10:30, and it's going to be a great time of celebration of the body coming together to worship the Lord. If you're tuning in for perhaps the first time, my name is Pastor Ryan. I serve as the lead pastor at the Tenasket Free Methodist Church, and I hope that one day I'll be able to meet some of you in person. Do you remember a time when you'd go to the grocery store and you'd get your groceries and they would hand you a paper sack? Some of you can remember that, those times. How many of you remember that sometimes your paper grocery sack was a little bit full and overflowing and you'd walk out to your car and the bottom would fall completely out? The bag would break. I know that happened to me on a few occasions when I was younger, perhaps to my parents. I also remember occasion walking out of a store, and my sister actually, she's watching this, but I apologize for telling this story, but she was holding a gallon of milk, and she dropped it, and milk just went everywhere, just totally spilled. And I think that's a good illustration of life sometimes. Sometimes the bottom just falls out of life. Sometimes the bag just breaks. Sometimes the milk spills and life is messy. Maybe your life is different than mine, but I experience that sometimes. And I love God's Word because God's Word guides us into truth. God's Word teaches us how to respond in those times, in those crisis moments in our lives. And so this morning we are in a new sermon series that I'm calling Unshakable. When our convictions in God collide with a culture that has totally different values and convictions, how do we respond? And the book of Daniel talks a lot about how to do that, how to live in a culture that collides with your biblical and spiritual convictions in God. We're looking at Daniel chapter 2 this morning in this series. And just a reminder, Daniel is living in this place, Babylon. He's been carried away as a slave from Israel, where King Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel. And he brings them into Babylon, brings a lot of Israelites into Babylon as slaves. If you remember chapter 1, if you were with us last week, King Nebuchadnezzar chose the brightest, the best to build his kingdom in Babylon. And so that's where we kind of left off last week. This week in Daniel chapter 2, we're looking at just three responses of how Daniel deals with a crisis. Last week, Daniel had a crisis. He was told to eat the king's food, and how would he respond? Because Daniel's issue was he didn't want to do that, not because he was trying to start some kind of rebellion or he didn't want to just follow the king's orders. No, his whole concern was about not defiling himself. His concern was about being holy and set apart for God. His concern was being a servant for God. And God honored that. God honored that in his life and protected him. But now here in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel is in another crisis, in a pressure situation where his faith is being tested. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted to know what the dream meant. But he not only wanted to know what the dream meant. He wanted astrologers, he wanted the enchanters, he wanted the magicians to tell him what the dream was and what the dream meant. You see, Daniel and his friends, they were elevated to these positions in the royal court because Daniel was found to be 10 times wiser than any of the astrologers and magicians and enchanters in the kingdom. And so he's in this position. And Daniel is the one that obviously, because God has given him this power, is the one that knows the meaning. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he's looking for people that would be able to tell him what this dream was and what it meant. And if no one could tell him, there would be this severe consequence. I'm talking about a really severe consequence. Your faith being tested, under pressure, your faith being persecuted. If you can't tell the king said, then I'm going to cut you into pieces. I've never been under that kind of pressure. But Daniel and his friends were, and others there were. Not only would he cut them brutally into pieces, but he would make the homes, as Scripture says, into piles of rubble. So their families' lives were at risk, perhaps. So I would say their life is falling apart. The bag is breaking. The bottom is falling out of their lives real quick. The milk has spilled. So what do you do in this kind of position, in this kind of crisis? Daniel gives us 3 things. I want to talk about those this morning. Chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Daniel tells us something here that is just so basic to the Christian faith, but we, honestly, we forget to do it. When Daniel's life is falling apart, Daniel prays. Daniel prays. He goes to God in prayer. He prays. Look at verse 16. It says this: Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. Then Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened. You know, honestly, our first response when there's a pressure situation, a crisis, whatever is going on at home, our first response, perhaps, if you're like me, and if I'm totally honest this morning, sometimes I'm formulating a plan. Like, right away. Isn't that interesting? Right away, when a crisis hits, I'm formulating a plan in my mind. How do I get out of this situation? I begin to think about, what if this happens, or what if this happens? And I come up with plan A, I come up with plan B on how to get out of this situation. And I think if we stop reading at verse 16, I think we could get the wrong idea that that's exactly what Daniel was doing. He went to the king and he asked for more time to interpret what the dream meant. Perhaps it looks like Daniel is formulating a plan on how to get out of the situation. But that's actually not what Daniel is doing. Because if you go on and you read verse 18, we learn what he is doing. We learn his motive. And we learn the kind of person he was. And I think the kind of person who Jesus calls us to be, and I think the kind of person who a mature follower is in Christ, he asked for this reason. Verse 18 says this. He went to his friends, as it says in verse 17, and says, he urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so that they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. How does Daniel respond in this pressure situation where his very life is on the line? How does he respond when his friends' lives are on the line? How does he respond when perhaps family's lives are on the line? He lives this unshakable life by first going to prayer and asking God for mercy. Now, for some of you, you might be saying, well, Of course Daniel did that. I mean, he is like some super spiritual guy. I mean, in Daniel chapter 1, we learned how he pursued holiness, and we learned how he was this servant, totally humble, taking on the form of Jesus that we see in Philippians. Of course he would go to prayer. That was like a natural thing for him to do. But friends, it's not. It's not natural. You see, especially we know this. Chapter 1, verse 20 tells us that Daniel was 10 times more capable than anyone in the Babylonian kingdom. He was 10 times more capable than all the magicians and the enchanters and the astrologists. Daniel very well could have relied on his own wisdom. He could have relied on his own understanding. I mean, he's smart. He could surely figure this out. He could surely formulate a good plan. He could have planned an escape route to preserve his life and his friend's life. For sure, because he was working in the king's court, he had access to relationships, and he had some kind of authority in the king's court, being this wise person. He could have used his power. He could have used his relationships to his advantage to really get out of this situation to preserve his own life. But he didn't, friends. He went to God in prayer. Have you ever been that desperate to go to God in prayer first? I have to tell you, as your pastor, I've been pretty desperate lately. Just a week and a half ago, on my morning walk, as I was walking, I was totally exhausted. Not from walking, but just spiritually and emotionally. And I just, as I was walking, I just said, "Lord, I need a word from you." I called out to God in prayer. And I said, "God, there's many lives at stake right now. There's many lives that need you. And Lord, I need your strength. I need you to strengthen me, but I need to hear your voice. I need a word from you." And as I began to walk and quiet my heart, you know, I'm reminded Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And so as I'm walking and being quiet, I heard God's voice. And God said this. He said, "It's good that you're near me." I began to pray about that. I began to search the scriptures and say, "What does that mean, God? Well, yes, I know it's good to be near you, but what does that mean?" And God led me to Psalm 73, verse 28, where it says this, "But as for me, it's good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." You know, that's exactly what Daniel did. He made God his refuge. God was the only voice that he was going to listen to so that he could proclaim, and which we're going to talk about here in a minute. He made God his refuge. You see, friends, listen, we have to know this. When we pray, God hears. I think we forget that sometimes. When we pray, God answers. When we pray, God leads us. When we pray, God guides us into all truth. When we pray, we are saying, "God, I am desperate for you. God, apart from you, I can do nothing." When we pray, we are confessing our utter dependence on God. When we pray, we can hear his voice. And then we get prepared to walk in his truth and to walk in his wisdom. When we pray, we are saying, "God, I trust you." Daniel was all about that. Daniel did not have the power on his own. He needed that word from God. Do you need a word from God today to strengthen you? Call out to him. Ask him for that. Not only did Daniel pray, but he drew in others to his crisis moment. In verse 17, it says that he went and he told his friends about what happened. Friends, I say this often because I think it's really crucial. Friends, we cannot live this life with Jesus alone. We need a group of people. We need some friends. You need a few friends that you can be honest with, that you can tell your struggles to. If this time of COVID-19 has showed us anything, we shouldn't be isolated. Bad things happen to people who are isolated. I know people right now who are suffering from depression. I know people right now who are suffering from anxiety because they are alone. Friends, today, if you are a follower of Jesus and you know that someone is alone, I hope that you would pick up the phone and that you would call them. Perhaps you're alone right now. Perhaps you would pick up the phone and you would call someone and you would reach out and you would tell them what is going on in your life. Because Daniel did that. He knew that he couldn't just keep this information to himself alone. He had to draw in friends to say, would you plead for mercy from God so we would not be executed? Don't be afraid to do that, friend, today. Don't be afraid to make that call today, to reach out and plead for mercy from God together. You know, there's this story about a famous man that I love and I read about. He was probably one of the greatest prayers from the past. He lived from 1805 to 1898. His name is George Mueller. Some of you know his story. He started an orphanage in England where he cared for as many 2,000 orphans, where he clothed them and educated them and provided for them. Many of these orphans were working in workhouses and lived on the streets, and he took them in. In George Mueller's journal, it says that Mueller had over 50,000 specific recorded answers to prayers, 30,000 of which he said were answered the same day or the same hour that he prayed them. Think of it. That's 500 definite answers to prayer each year. More than one per day, every single day, for 60 years. God funneled over $500 million, that's in today's dollars, through his hands in an answer to prayer. Never did George Mueller make his needs known for his orphanage. God answered those prayers. But George Mueller was not always a person who was close to God in prayer. He actually struggled in prayer. He says he floundered a lot in his prayers. Because as he sat down to pray, his mind began to wander, and his mind began to kind of lose interest. And he didn't really even know what he was praying about or what he should pray about all the time. But one day, everything changed. I want you to hear what he said. He said, "For my heart, being nourished by the truth, being brought into experiential fellowship with God, I speak to my Father and to my friend, vile though I am and unworthy of it, about the things that he has brought before me in his precious word. It often now astonishes me that I did not sooner see this point." You see, what he is saying is that when he began to have conversation with the Lord, he began to read the Word of God, and he began to pray the Scriptures, and he let the truth of God's Word feed his soul. And so praying the Scriptures might have looked like this for George. In Psalm 23, where the psalmist says, "Though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he fears no evil." And so for George, maybe he said something like this: "Lord, thank you for being with me through the valley of the shadow of death. And with you in the valley, I know that I don't have to fear evil, for thou art with me. You are with me." And when he began to rest in the truth of God's word, that is when he began to have these amazing experiences with God and seeing prayers answered. This kind of prayer, George Mueller says, can transform your life with God. And so when the bag breaks, when life is falling apart, when the milk is spilled, Daniel prays. He doesn't rely on his own ingenuity. He prays. The second thing, when life is falling apart, Daniel praises God. What is that about? He praises God. That's not natural to us, to praise God when our life is falling apart. In chapter 2, 19 through 23, I want to read these words of praise out loud to you right now. Perhaps you're looking at your Bible right now, but you don't have to. I just want you to hear these words as I read them slowly. And I want you to hear these words and reflect on the character of God and what we can praise God for. May these words here bless you, encourage you, and strengthen you as I read them. He said this, "Praise the name of God forever and ever. For He has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things. And He knows what lies in hidden darkness, though He is surrounded by light. I thank and praise You, God of my ancestors, for You have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked of You and revealed to us what the King demanded." I hope that you will take some time today to go through that praise again, to be reminded of just who God is to us. Now, this might seem like an obvious point here that I want to make, especially when we read in verse 19 that God had revealed to Daniel the dream and what it meant. Of course Daniel would praise God. I mean, now he knows. The mystery has been revealed, and now he knows what it is. He knows what the dream was. He knows what it meant. He can tell the king, and his life is going to be spared. He's not going to be cut in pieces. How many of you would be praising the Lord because of that? And so, of course, this you're saying, Daniel, praise God for this. But it wasn't that easy. It wasn't that easy because Daniel would then have to tell the king what the dream meant. And friends, that would not be an easy conversation to have. That would not be a favorable conversation because the dream was a dream that meant that Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom that he worked so hard to build was going to crumble. That was not going to be easy for Daniel to tell him that when his life is on the line. So he's not out of the woods here yet, friends. But he praises God even before that. I'm not going to go into details of the dream here now. Next Sunday, Pastor Ron Wise is going to be speaking. I'm going to be on vacation this next week, but he'll be speaking and he'll unpack some of that dream together. But basically, in verses 31 through 35, it tells us of this dream. And the long, short story of it all is that the dream meant that there would be some kingdoms that were inferior to Babylon that would rise up and they would conquer Babylon. But one day there would be a kingdom that would rise up, this rock that is forever that would rise up. Verse 44 says that God would set up His kingdom, this rock that would last forever, which is a picture of God's kingdom being a stable kingdom, one that will endure through the ages, one that will be faithful through the ages, one that will not break, whereas the kingdoms of this world are fragile, aren't they? Kingdoms of this world break, but God's kingdom endures forever and will last forever. Daniel has to tell him this. But he praises God first. Why does that put that? He praises God first. You know, when we stop and think for a moment in the midst of our crisis, which is totally hard to do, I get that. But it's something that I'm trying to develop in my own life with God. It forces us to stop and think for what God has done. Because when Daniel stops to think and praise God, he praises Him and he thinks about what God has done in the present, that God has preserved his life and that God will preserve his life. In the present time, God has preserved his life and he praises God for that. Not only that, but he praises God for the past. In verse 23, remember he said, "I praise you, God of my ancestors." In other words, I praise you because you've been faithful in the past. But he also praises God in the moment for the future, because God has spoken to him, which he can speak to you as well. And he's spoken to him about the future of this new kingdom that God was going to set up. This good that would come out of this bad, of this chaos that is going on. And he praises God for that. Now, just a reminder, friends, Daniel, as I said, is not out of the woods. His people are still in slavery. And so God may not change your situation. He may not deliver you from your trial right away. But you know, when we praise God, we are reminded of His faithfulness. We are reminded of how He is caring for us right now. And we are given this hope and a renewed hope. And no longer do we have to walk in despair, my friends. And Daniel does this. You know what I really think about praise, friends, is that praise arms God's people to face enemies in life. Praise arms God's people and strengthen us so our minds can be focused on the greatness of God. So our minds can be focused on this anchor that Hebrews says that is the hope. An anchor for our soul, Jesus is. He's the hope of the world. Praise refocuses our minds. Would you take time to do that when the bag breaks, when the milk spills? Would you do that? And it's a way to walk out of despair. God will lead you out of despair in that way. The third and final thing this morning I want to point out from here is that when life is falling apart, when the bag breaks, when the milk spills, Daniel proclaims the power of God. You know, Daniel resisted all temptation to say, you know what, I'm 10 times smarter than anyone else in this whole entire kingdom. I know everything there is to know. I know this dream and I know all future dreams. He resists all temptation to be like that. He humbles himself. He humbles himself here. He walks humbly with his God. Look at verses 27 through 28. He says this: "There are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret." There's no one who can do that. He's telling this to the king. But he says in verse 28, underline this, highlight this, write this on your bathroom mirror: "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets." You see, we already learned in verses 10 through 11 that the enchanters and magicians and astrologers, whose job this was to tell the king's secrets and all these things, they said, "We can't do it." You see, they literally had a book, perhaps a journal, of how to interpret dreams. And they recorded all these things. And when they needed to interpret a dream, they would go to this book, they would turn the pages, and they would look, and they would get some guidance there. But as they began to look in their book, they said, "No, we don't have any instructions here to tell you what your dream was. This does not fit with our education that we received. We can't do this." You know, friends, you know what this tells us? This tells us that there are some mysteries in this world. As smart as we think we are, there are some mysteries in this world we'll never understand. We can't solve them. This tells us that there are some issues in your life that you will never solve. This tells us that there are some problems that you are facing that you do not have the answer to. We just don't. We just don't, apart from God. And Daniel is saying, "I can't even solve this. I can't do it." The ones who were trained in this said, "We can't do it." But Daniel is saying in verse 28, "But there is a God in heaven who can." You know, remind yourself of that truth this week. When you encounter something that is way too great for you, but there's a God in heaven who can. Perhaps you are facing a certain specific difficulty today, and you don't know what to do. Remind yourself of that truth. I can't do it. I know that's not a very popular thing, you know, like to say, "I can't do it." But you know what? We can't do it. Apart from God, we can't. And Daniel's saying, "But there is a God in heaven." So what are you facing today? What is that difficulty that you may be facing today? Remind yourself that God can do it. Let me close with this illustration. This is from a story by the name of Jeremy Bigby. He tells of a story of a church in South Africa, in a South African township. He says, "I was told immediately before the church service that a house around the corner had just been burned to the ground because the man who lived there was a suspected thief. A week before that, a tornado had cut through the township, ripping apart 50 homes. 5 people had been killed. And then I was told that very night before, a gang hounded down a 14-year-old, a member of the church's Sunday school, and stabbed him to death. The pastor stepped up in the church on that Sunday, and he began with this opening prayer. He said, 'Lord, you are the creator. You are sovereign. But why did the wind come like that, like a snake, to tear off the roofs of our home? Why did a mob cut short the life of one of our own children when he had everything to live for?' Over and over again, 'Lord, we are in the midst of death.'" Maybe you feel like that today. As he spoke, the congregation responded with a dreadful sighing and groaning. And then once he finished his prayer, very slowly, the congregation began to sing. And at first, very quietly, then louder, then louder. They sang, and they sang song after song, a praise to God, who in Jesus had plunged into the very worst to give them and to give us a promise of an ending beyond all imagining. The singing gave the congregation a foretaste of the end. You see, friends, Christian hope isn't about looking around at the state of things now and trying to imagine where it's all going. It's not trying to calculate the future from the present. It's about this. It's about breathing now the fresh air of the ending, tasting the spices and sipping the wine of the feast to come. Friends, as I reminded us last week, don't forget the end story. God wins. This week, would you pursue Jesus by living this vibrant life of prayer, going to Him first, friends? It seems like a no-brainer, but we don't do it enough. Would you go to Him in praise and be reminded and strengthened by what God is doing in the present, in the past, and what He does in the future? And in all of that, and in every situation, would you give glory to Him by saying, you know what, I can't do it, but there's a God in heaven who can. Church, I love you. I'm praying for you. And let's pray together right now. Lord Jesus, as I am out here in your creation, standing upon a rock, a literal rock that I'm standing on, I'm reminded of your kingdom that stands firm forever. When everything around me is breaking, when the bag is falling apart, when the bottom falls out, Lord, I can depend on you who stands forever, who does not change. God, thank you that you are the one who appoints kings and demotes kings. Thank you that you are the one who has a long-range plan of redemption. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, this morning I pray for those of us who are walking with you, that they may be strengthened in their knowledge and their love of you as they pursue you in prayer and praise and proclamation of how good you are. And Lord, for the person here this morning that does not know you, I pray right now that they can call out to you in prayer, just as I did a week and a half ago, where I said, Lord, I need you. I need to hear a word from you. And so would you do that today for the person calling out saying, I need you. I need you to forgive me. I need to be reconciled to you. Would you come into their life right now? Change them. Transform them. May they find forgiveness and peace for their soul this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've made the Lord your Savior this morning, or if you've made any kind of commitment to the Lord, I'd love to know about it, because I would love to help you as you walk this journey towards Jesus. Would you click on our website right now? Just click the button that says I raised my hand, and so that you can communicate with me and just let me know of the commitment, so we can be praying and walking with you. Church, we love you. We'll see you online next Sunday, and also in person at the Tenasket Free Methodist Church. Have a great day.